Welcome to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Technical Net, recorded March 20th, 2023. In this edition of the Technical Net, we continue with our discussion of HT batteries and the Batteries America high-capacity batteries, and what's good and what's bad about it, and should you get one. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. We also take questions and try to solve problems for people who check in. The Fusion Technical Net is held Mondays at 7:30 U.S. Central Time. It's available in MinWiz 21493, a Wires X Room, or in YSF Reflector 21493. Enjoy the net.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chuck K04K, and welcome to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. This net operates on and through the Minnesota, Wisconsin room number 21493. This is an open technical net, but please check in through net control. Tonight's net control stations are November Zero Pop X-Ray Tango, Whiskey 4 India Oscar Delta, Otis, K9EQ Chris, and K0 4K Chuck. The Bakken Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Bakken, who was the founder of Medtronic. Earl was always interested in radio and is a founding sponsor of the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting. Earl allows us to use his name because he's a strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. You can learn more about Bars and Earl at hamoperator.com/W0MDT, so you can find it there. You can tell how often I read the other one until we had to make this change. Remember that the 444.075 and the 444.525 operate from the Medtronic repeater near Highway 10 and I-35W in Moundsey, Minnesota. There is a chat window available at hamoperator.com, select MinWiz, and then MinWiz chat. Net control will only be taking check-ins from stations with traffic for the net. Please reply with your name, city and state, and put you on the order on the list in the order received. All right. Let's see. I think we're looking for announcements. So if you have an announcement, please check in now. Name, city, and state.
This is Rick up in central Minnesota, northwest of St. Cloud, just about in the middle of the state, N0BJN, that's November 0, Bravo, Juliet, November.
And K9EQ, Chris, near San Diego. Chuck, still there, K9EQ.
All right, everything seems to be working on my end. Chris, go ahead. Chris, back to you.
Of import. Double there. Chuck, go ahead.
All right. Not sure what's happening there, but November 0, Bravo Juliet November. Why don't you go ahead and give us the announcements?
Hi to Chuck and everyone on the MinWiz Tactical Net. This is Rick up here in central Minnesota, up here at Little Falls. I have three HamFest announcements for the group here tonight. The first one I have is the Brainerd HamFest is coming up on Saturday, April 15th. It's being held at the National Guard Armory on Wright Street on the south side of Brainerd, Minnesota. The address is 1115 Wright Street. This one's pretty easy to get to. Take Business Highway 371 into the south side of Brainerd, and Wright Street will come up about six blocks in. And you'll go east on Wright Street, and the National Guard Armory will come up on the left-hand side of the street. For more information on the Brainerd Ham Fest, it's coming up on Saturday, April 15th. Stop by their website. It is BrainerdHam.org. That's BrainerdHam.org. For the Brainerd, Minnesota Ham Fest coming up on Saturday, April 15th. The Grand Forks Ham Fest is coming up on Saturday, April 22nd. It's being held at the Heritage Village. The address is 219 20th Street Northeast in East Grand Forks, Minnesota. It runs from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Admission is $10. Kids 12 and under are free. Tables are $20. There'll be a VE testing from 9 a.m. to 10:30. There'll be an ARRL form from 11 a.m. to noon. They'll have concessions and lunch available. They'll have prize drawings and radio raffles. For more info on the Grand Forks Ham Fest on Saturday, April 22nd, visit their website at WA0JXT.org. Phonetically, that's Whiskey Alpha Zero Juliet X-Ray Tango.org. And that's for the Grand Forks Minnesota Ham Fest on April 22nd in East Grand Forks. If I can check, I'll let the system reset here and I'll be back with one more Ham Fest right after this. The Duluth Superior Ham Fest is coming up on Saturday, May 6th. It's being held at the Head of the Lakes Fairgrounds in the Multi-Purposes Building. The address is 4700 Tower Avenue in Superior, Wisconsin. It runs from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Admission is $10. Kids 12 and under are free. There'll be a VE testing. There'll be hourly drawings and a $500 grand prize. For more info on the Duluth Superior Ham Fest on Saturday, May 6th, visit their website, thearac.org. Phonetically, that website is Tango, Hotel, Echo, Alpha, Romeo, Alpha, Charlie.org. That is thearac.org. And that's for the Duluth Superior Ham Fest coming up on Saturday, May 6th. With that, Chuck, we'll send it back to you. Thank you so much for being here every week answering all our ham radio questions. It's greatly appreciated by the ham radio community. Everyone have a good week. From Rick in Central Minnesota up here at Little Falls, and Zero PJM.
Thank you, Rick. This is Chuck K04K, and we also had Chris, K9EQ, Escondido, California, with an announcement. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. I just wanted to let the folks know that the live stream should be working better now. Now that I've got some things figured out, it makes a difference what order you start things in. And so the live stream is benefiting from the signal processing that's being applied to all the stuff that we're picking up over the air here. So you can give that a try. I put the link up in the chat room, and also it's available on hamoperator.com. Speaking of hamoperator.com, we're going to have part two of the discussion regarding HT batteries last week.
We talked about the Batteries America, the high-capacity battery, and compared it to the ASUS offering. Tonight, we offer more details on that. Got some exterior photographs of the two batteries and some observations about how well it works on the radio and, you know, how convenient or inconvenient that extra capacity battery is, and some recommendations. And there's some clues in there as to who makes the battery and the photo evidence. And we'll go through and look at that. And it's the same technique you can apply to see if the discount soup and the brand name soup is made by the same company, or, you know, the off-brand AA battery is made by which big brand AA battery manufacturer. It's kind of using the same same techniques. So there's some interesting stuff in there, too. There will be, I've got a document. I've updated the document up on hamoperator.com. So you'll want to go there and take a look at that when we get to the section of the net when we start talking about batteries. Back to you, Chuck, K90Q.
All right, Chris, thank you very much for that. And with that, we'll start the check-in portion of the net to see if we've got anybody with comments or questions. If you do, this is your chance. Name, city, state, go ahead now. Comments or questions?
This is WA3VHL. Name is Glenn, located in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Right, Whiskey Alpha 3, Victor Hotel Lima, Glenn, Allentown, Pennsylvania. Go ahead. And you are incredibly loud, so maybe you want to back off the microphone just a touch.
Okay, will do. I'm way back off the mic right now, and I'm using a, Yaesu 991A, and desk mic to get into your link tonight. Anyway, I thought I would come back to the group who was so nice to help me out 3-4 weeks ago when I first came in with my problem with my YSF reflector. And I'd just like to, for those that weren't in on that group a few weeks ago when I brought up the topic, just give a quick background. And I am happy to report that I've resolved my problem, and I'd love to share with the group what it was. But a real quick background is I'm running a YSF reflector. It's a Raspberry Pi 3B with a top hat. It was a single band top hat, and I think it's important for the group to understand that I have a VHF repeater so that the conventional top hat, without making modifications to it, would not work. Because I need a VHF frequency to be able to bridge. This is a bridging situation where I'm trying to bridge my YSF reflector to the repeater. So I am running a separate YSF reflector on a Raspberry Pi, and then the bridging element is also a Raspberry Pi with a single band, dual band single antenna, not full duplex top hat. And what happened was I've been talking to many people over the last few weeks on what they're doing or how they've got theirs working, and somebody suggested to me getting a dual band top hat and spent some time with me sending me their configuration file. And amazingly enough, I switched it out and it did the same thing. It didn't resolve my issue. However, upon doing that, I picked up the bridging Raspberry Pi, and I noticed for a split second that the audio, the issue was, by the way, that audio was not passing through the repeater. It was passing through YSF, so if you were on an open spot and coming through my YSF reflector, you'd hear it on another open spot, but the audio was not passing wires X through my repeater. Let me just drop one here. Okay, and what I ended up discovering was when I picked up that the Bridger, it opened up the audio on my repeater, and I saw myself on the dashboard coming through. Well, stupid me, and I'm embarrassed about this, actually. I never even gave thought to the fact that here what it was is I then unscrewed the little Chinese antenna, which never dawned on me that that's a UHF antenna, and probably not tuned to VHF band. I put on a little rubber ducky, I screwed off the FT5 antenna from my FT5 and put it on the bridging element and the top hat, and lo and behold, my problem was fixed. It works, rather, I would say perfectly, or as perfect as can be. And I guess the embarrassing part is it took me 90 days to figure this out. It was 8 weeks before I came to this net. And then about 3-4 weeks ago when I first checked in, a few of you gave me some great ideas, which I can't thank you enough for. I think this group is fantastic. And I felt I owed it to the group to at least explain or at least share with you my resolution. I'm embarrassed about this because I never would have thought for a million years that it was the antenna. And what resolved it was the other gentleman told me to put a dual hat on. That didn't resolve the problem, but in picking up the bridging element in my hand was enough to have the audio, you know, the antenna actually was receiving properly through the repeater and vice versa. So the joke is kind of probably my grandson's high chair that was 3 feet to the left last week was working fine with the audio passing through, and the minute it slid 3 feet to the right, it stopped working. So go figure. But in any event, I want to thank everybody for the comments, and Chris especially for your comments. The whole group here, just love it, and thank you again. Back over to you, Chuck K0ORKWA3VHO.
All right, Glenn, it takes a real man to admit that you made an error that small, but that hard to find. So, all right, looking for anybody else with a comment or question for the net. If you do have one, now's your chance. This is Chuck here, 04 here with the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Free Radio Net. If you have a comment or question, go ahead now. Name, city, state.
This is KN6AY, Virginia. Just checking in and out.
All right, we'll try it again. See if anybody out there has a comment or a question for the net. If you have a comment or a question, give us your name, city, state. Go ahead now.
WA9E, Roberto in Glendale Heights, Illinois, Whiskey America 9 Echo.
Whiskey Alpha 9 Echo, Roberto. You ended last week when you said that you're going to come back every night and make sure everybody remembered your name. So why don't you go ahead? What do you got for us?
Hi, Chuck. I wonder if anybody has heard any more about the FTM 500. They claim that it's supposed to be out this month. Over.
Just saw posted here, it's not March 30th yet, so I think you're getting your hopes up a little bit early. This is Yaesu we're talking about here, buddy. Back to you, Roberto.
Oh, I didn't realize that they had sent the absolute end of the month.
Okay.
Yeah, I was talking to one of the fellows in Japan. They're waiting over there as well. So, they're holding it back everywhere. I think maybe some European person might have got a sample, because there seems to be one that's around that has some functionality on YouTube. But anyway, yeah, lots of folks are chomping at the bit. I see the ad in the new QSP that I got today. Again, same ad. So they're really... being very secretive about this one this time. And I understand somebody slipped and there might be another rig coming out that's maybe a multi-mode model. So, boy, oh boy. I guess lots of people are saying they're going to Dayton, or I mentioned, to see if they can get one or see it. So I think it's going to be a good draw. WA90.
Well, I'm sure we will hear about it as soon as it's available. Let's see. And the fine print at the bottom of the ad that you looked at says, as of 1/31/2023, the FCC has not approved it for use in the United States yet. So until it's ready for prime time, I guess we got to wait for the FCC to... release it first. Roberto, I'm sure we're going to hear when it is available. With that, I'm going to see if there's anybody else out there with a comment or question for the net. Why don't you go ahead and know. Name, city, state.
N9NRA.
KE0YJJ, Rick, Pine Island, Minnesota.
All right, we got two of them that time. I've got November 9, November Romeo Alpha, and Kilo Echo 0, Yankee Juliet, Juliet. So November 9... November Romeo Alpha, Andrew, in Wausau, Wisconsin. Why don't you go ahead and ask your question?
Why, thank you, everyone. I was just hearing you guys talking about some new radio. Are you guys referring to that R1, I call it the R1, the RF Finder R1 Deluxe? I don't know what the model number is, really. One of my friends that I talk with on D-Star got one of those. Is that what you're talking about, or is there still another radio they're coming out with? Go ahead.
Yep, there is a new radio coming out by Yaesu called the FTM 500, and that's what we were kind of discussing back and forth here. It's a new fusion radio. We don't know a whole lot about it other than people have seen pictures of it in the new QST magazine. Back to you, Andrew.
Okay, I'm assuming it's a mobile then, not a handheld. Just kind of curious. I'll probably see it at Dayton because I am going. I'm kind of curious if it's a mobile or handheld.
It was a mobile unit, and, well, that's what we were just talking about, that people are hoping that it'll be available at Dayton so they can pick one up there for the early adopters. Thank you for your question, Andrew, and well, I'm going to move on unless you've got something else, so back to you.
No, I'm going to answer my question. How are you guys at the net? N9 NRA Central Wisconsin.
All right, finished off that one. Next up was Kilo Echo Zero Yankee Julie Juliet. Go ahead, Rick.
Thank you, Chuck. And good evening, group. Well, as you and Odie know, and Chris, I was chomping at the bit to get a 991A. And, well, I got one, and I had a heck of a time with it. I mean, a good time. Did everything I wanted to do except it would not do FM data. No matter what I tried, it would go there, it would look like it's going to work, and wouldn't. So I talked to several people, and they advised me to create a spreadsheet, and at the top of that spreadsheet to put what mode I wanted and what the settings are for that mode. All well and fine. Keeping that in mind, I've tried, like, okay, so what happened was, I got it to work in FM mode, FM data and all that, works with FLDigi, so on and so forth. Now my problem is the opposite. And I've checked my settings, and I reset the radio back to the beginning. Stand by. And I set the rig back to factory reset and set it all up, and I cannot get it to transmit on HF now. I don't know what the heck happened. I checked my settings. I did a factory reset. I use an FLDigi. I use Alpha Rig to configure it. It talks back and forth, and I cannot get it to do data upper sideband or data USB. Yeah, upper sideband data on any HF frequency. No matter what I do, the red key light comes on, but nothing transmits. It's like a blank carrier. Any ideas, anybody? I'm pulling my hair out for this. Anyways, back, yeah, that's it.
All right, Rick. You know, sometimes pushing the buttons on and it does not equate to what you want. It sounds like that's what they're going to do. I have no idea what you might have done. And if a factory reset didn't cure it, I have no idea what you might have done. So let's throw it out there and see if anybody else has played with this and might have a clue for him. So if you've got an idea for Rick on how to get back to processing data, why don't you go ahead now. Give me your name, city, and state.
K3F is ET.
K3F is ET.
Steve.
Steve.
And Philadelphia. Sorry for the echo.
Philadelphia. Sorry for the echo. Philadelphia.
Digital 3 Fox Zulu Tango Steve, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Why don't you go ahead? Give us your ideas.
I grabbed the wrong mic. I own an ST-991 Alpha, and I've done a fairly decent amount of digital operation, both in FM modes, FL Digi, Winlink VARA, VARA AC, and on HF, my data work has been limited to Winlink with VARA. What you're describing sounds to me as though your radio is set up properly, but there's no audio connecting to your radio. As you well understand, Rick, on sideband, if you give the radio no audio, there's not a carrier, so there's no transmission. So, what I would look at is your Windows configuration. People have great difficulty all the time because Windows, with every update, puts you at risk of changing your USB to serial port number, and that's frankly where I would be looking. I do have a checklist for 991 Alpha radios with FM data. I acknowledge that I don't have such a checklist for HF, but that's my thoughts. Back to net control. I apologize to you, Chuck, and the net for the echo. This is Steve in Philadelphia, K3FZT.
All right, Steve. No problem on the echo on the second time around, but your audio was very, very hot. And probably you should look up Kilo Echo Zero Yankee Julia Juliet on QRZ and send what you have to him, and maybe he can use that. I know Otis Whiskey 4 India Oscar Delta also sends the same thing. He's got a checklist for FT8 and Winlink. And well, maybe both those guys will email something to Rick and he can figure out which setting he changed that's not flipping back. All right. Rick, back to you. All right, the Lost Rick in Pine Island, Minnesota. Changed another setting and lost the net tonight. With that, I'm going to throw it out there, see if anybody else has a comment or a question for the net. If you do, this is your chance. Name, city, state, comments or questions only.
I'm going to come in with another one, Chuck WA9E, Glendale Heights, Illinois.
All right, Roberto, Whiskey Alpha 9 Echo, go ahead with your second question. What do you got?
I found the battery information. Very interesting from Chris. When will we get the next report on the new battery, the 3.8 battery?
All right, Albert Roof, you wait just a few more minutes. That should be happening tonight. We've been talking about it and just wanted to get some of the questions out of the way before we started it. So I'll throw it out there for one last try on questions of general interest to the net. And when that's done, I'm going to turn it over to Chris about the batteries. So if you do have a comment or a question for the net, this is your last chance for the night. Name, city, state, go ahead.
K0ORK, this is KE0YJJ. Sorry about that, Chuck. I picked up the wrong mic and had a really good conversation with myself. Anyways, I thank them for their ideas, and yes, I will move down to audio road. I appreciate the comments. KE0YJJ, I'm clear.
You know, maybe, Rick, you should buy one of those label makers and label the mics so that you can just look at them and see what they belong to. But with that, I'm going to turn it over to Chris. K9EQ, you are the man. Net control over to you. K0ORK.
Okay, very good. We'll go and... I gotta go find my documents here. I've been poking around trying to see if I can find the registration status on the FDM 500, but nope, I don't see it anywhere. Well, what I did see is that everybody else must be looking for it because the FCC server quit responding. So anyway, if you go to hamoperator.com, I'll do that right now just to make sure I don't give you any bad information. I've got a link there, information under Hertz this week on the net. There's a link to a blog post, and in that blog post there's a PDF document which I'll be talking about, and that was where you went last week. To get a document, and you go to the same place this week, it's just a different document. So I'm dividing this into a couple of different parts. So part one was the initial comparison between YAESU and Batteries America batteries, and the podcast for that has been published and it's online, and that link is given at the start of the document. This is part two. Usability and manufacturing of the batteries. Podcast not yet available for obvious reasons. And then this keeps growing. Part three, we're going to talk about HT features that can impact power consumption. So given what battery you have, how to make it run longer, and there are some things you can do that can really suck the life out of a battery. Nothing you can do to make it run forever, because these radios are complex and there's a lot of electrics in them, so they do take some power. And then the last part, love and caring of lithium-ion batteries, because with the right TLC, they can last a long time or not. So if you'll nip down to part two, I'll be talking about some of the pictures there. And the first picture is shows my FT5, talking on it right now, with two different batteries and three different configurations. So the picture on the left is the radio with the normal battery from YAESU.
The picture in the center is the high-capacity battery from Batteries America. And then just to show, it's maybe not the best angle, it's hard to show it how the clip arrangement for the FT5 works. There it is, the Yaesu battery with the clip. What this clip is, rather than having the little belt clip on the back of the battery, there's this arrangement, sort of like a, I don't know, an air hook or something. It grabs onto the radio in three different places rather than the battery. And so you're not relying on the little delicate clips and things like that that are part of the battery to hold things together when you've got the radio on your belt and you snag it on a dolphin or something and it goes flying. Obviously, if you have the Batteries America battery with 3.8 amp hours, it's not going to work with Yaesu's nice little clip for the FT5. If you don't have an FT5, you don't care about any of this because you don't have this clip. You just have to have the clip on the back of the battery. Batteries America does provide a clip with it. You'll notice I have not installed it on my battery because we'll talk about that later. I guess that's because we'll talk about it a little bit later. So I'm going to label the batteries as we go through this, just so we can keep. I don't have to keep saying Batteries America battery all the time. So Y1800 is an older Yaesu battery, and based on the super secret Yaesu information decoder ring, set decoder ring available at hamoperator.com. That battery was manufactured the second week of 2014 in Japan. And yeah, it's 1800 milliamp hours. They switched to 2200 milliamp hours with no real visible change in the battery. The second battery I'm showing in these pictures is Y2200. So that battery is the most recent one that I own. And that was made in China. It was probably around the middle of 2015 that Yaesu changed their production of batteries from Japan to China, and we'll see that the appearance of the batteries changed a little bit too. BA 3800, I guess there's a dash in there that's in the wrong place. That is manufactured, we'll say, by Batteries America around the 12th week of 2022, it appears. I'm guessing with the super secret decoder ring for Batteries America. I don't have one yet. Working on it. So if we scroll down to page 6, I've got three pictures there with the batteries all side by side and appropriately labeled the Y1800, the Y2200, and the BA3800 with their origins and different capacity ranges. And what you'll notice, I mean, I've got little stickers on there that, like the 10, 21, 18.7 watt hours. I can explain those later if anybody cares. One thing that you can notice is, so the battery on the left is made in Japan. The battery in the middle is made in China. And so a significant change in the appearance of the battery. The labeling has changed and that type of thing. And I'll get into that a little bit more. Now, if we look at the opposite side of the batteries and the next picture, there's some other interesting things. The old battery, the 1800, made in Japan, has a Yaesu logo on the back. Huh, how about that? The newer 2200 battery has no Yaesu logo, and the Batteries America battery would probably get sued if they had a Yaesu logo. But you can see there's a lot of similarity with the batteries. Of course, the larger capacity Batteries America has got to look different on the back. But still, look in the area of where the belt clip screws into, and you can see that that is almost the same design on all these batteries, particularly from 2200 to 3800. And you can't see it too well in this picture, But even on the little clippy things that you push down to clip the battery into the radio, there's a little arrow on them telling you to push it down, as if you couldn't figure that one out yourself. But what is a giveaway a lot of times in these batteries are little things like that. What are the chances that two different manufacturers would choose to put exactly the same arrow in exactly the same spot on the little clip doobity? I mean, even if they were copying the battery, you know, they're not going to be making a mold from it. They're going to have to make a new mold. You would expect some differences. Even that little dimple that's in the center of where the battery clip gets attached is the same. Just some indications there that there may be some kind of DNA shared between these batteries. So the next picture at the top of page 7 just shows those batteries side by side. The 1800, the 2200, and the 3800, with, you know, obviously the 3800 looking quite a bit different. I'll mention this now, I guess. So I said that I didn't use the battery clip. I did try it, the battery clip on the 3800. And after using the battery clip, I felt it was really just a little too much. The radio sticks out a little farther, and I thought that was just a little too much to have the thing sticking out there and have that extra weight and things like that. Although, as we'll see, the weight difference might not be as big as you think. Well, one thing I did notice is that you can see how they've kind of, with the back of the 3800 battery, they've kind of sculptured the case. So it actually does feel decent in your hand. You know, when you wrap your hand around the radio, I mean, your hand is going to form kind of an arc, but the smaller batteries don't. They're just flat. But the 3800 does kind of form an arc, because you can see how they narrow down to the back of the battery and a step there. And that actually feels pretty good when you're holding the battery. So it's, I would say it's, you know, not, I mean, it's fine. I don't have any issues just holding the battery like that. I just thought it might be a little too much for the belt clip. Because, you know, you get those little clippy things that lock the thing into the radio, those things get broken. Good luck with that. You're going to want a rubber band around your radio holding the battery to it? Probably not. Looking down, so let's just zip down to page 8. And what I did in page 8 is I blew up a small section of the battery from the pictures above. So I've got the three batteries sitting there. And you'll see that going from the batteries made in Japan to the ones made in China, there's some significant changes. One is that there's a little notch. So there's this label that goes on the battery where the contacts make contact with the radio. And there's this little label kind of thing that just kind of provides, the reason the label's there is there's some screws behind it. There's some screws behind that label, and they don't want you to see the screws, and they don't want the screws to short out against anything. So that's why that little black label there, it really isn't a label. It's just it's one of these manufacturing tricks that gets used. But you'll notice on the 2200 battery, then on the left of the label in the center, there's a little notch. Not only is there a notch in the label, there's a notch in the plastic, which is not there on the battery made in Japan. So the reason this notch is there is what it does is it allows you to better align that label with the battery cases, is what I'm guessing. Looking at the one above, it does look a little cockeyed, so maybe that does help. But you know, when you're wanting machines to build these things, you want to do everything in the molding you can to make it easy to build and help the machines from
making mistakes. You don't want them to make mistakes. And then a little feature like that in the molding, or a little cut like that in the die for cutting out the labels, is not going to cost anything. Once you're into production, it's a development cost. So you do things like that. If it has a slight improvement in manufacturability, because it's not going to cost you anything, you know, down the road. Of course, the other thing that you may have noticed is that the Y2200 battery has a minus and plus symbol next to the electrodes. The last battery on that three, the PA3800, not from Yaesu, but from Batteries America, has the same notch right in the side of it, in exactly the same place. It also has the same minus and plus symbols that are on the battery. And what I noticed when I was looking at the batteries here is that virtually all the features on that back side of the battery are identical. So if you go back up to the picture at the top of page 6, well, the one made in Japan is obviously different. But if you look at the two, the 2200 and the 3800, pretend my little label on the 2200 is transparent. Those labels are almost identical. That little box at the lower right is where the date code goes. They both have a date code of the same format, although I think that the stuff means something different. The symbols are just about the same. That which is, I'm not sure, I think Yaesu puts Japanese on these batteries, and I didn't look at it closely whether that's Chinese or Japanese. It must be Japanese. But even some of the symbols, like the garbage can and whatever, lithium ion 20 on one and 00 on the other, not sure what that means. But of course, the area where it said Yaesu, Musen, whatever, that's all gone and it just says made in China. But the label's the same size and even has a lot of the same symbols on it. So basically, my conclusion from this is that the batteries are very likely made by the same company. That it's just the way China works, and you know, they highly specialize. And the easiest thing for Batteries America to do is probably to go to a supplier in Japan that wouldn't surprise me makes the batteries for almost everybody. Probably ICOM as well. So I think the Batteries America has very high probability that the quality is very similar to that of the Yaesu battery. Although you'll remember from last week when we looked at the two batteries. Now, these two batteries here are the Yaesu battery, like at the top of page 2. That was one of the newer ones made in China. So this isn't one of the older ones like I was showing you in the picture. This is more like the Yaesu 2200. And it's one that I had disassembled. It's an older one, but I'm guessing the same as the sample and the other photographs. And the totally different construction internally. So I don't know how to reconcile that. Even the if you go and look at the, page 4, on page 4 we have the protection circuitry, different boards, clearly different boards, and then of course the Yaesu unit has a thermocouple on it that the Batteries America didn't seem to have, so I don't know if that has changed. Anybody want to send me the batteries to take apart? I'll be happy to. Not taking apart new battery cells at work. So anyway, I would expect the batteries to be pretty equivalent. So talking a little bit more about, well, let's back up a little bit. So you notice I had a little note on the batteries as far as watt hours go. My method for measuring the capacity of the battery is a little different from what you might expect. Rather than the measuring the amount of power that comes out of the battery when you discharge it, which is hard to do,
coming because it's on an HD. What are you going to do? And what's the discharge curve? I use a very specific battery charger here, and I measure the amount of power I put into it to charge it, which I can measure pretty accurately. And I forgot to include another thing on this document here. It's been a busy day about battery chargers, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But that's how I measure the capacity of the batteries. I expect this number to be somewhat larger than the native capacity of the battery because of the inefficiencies of the charger and the inefficiencies of inefficiencies of the charger. Let's just leave it at that. And in fact, you know, I have noticed with batteries that I use quite a bit that this number does decline over time. So here we have the battery on the left, the 1800, which is 2014, so it's an old battery. It's a 14 watt hour battery, and so it's coming in just a little under 14 watts, which probably means it's lost a bit of capacity. 2200 is a 16 watt hour battery, and it's coming in at just a little below 19 watts for charging, which I would say to me it's you're probably getting your 16 watts. I've done the same measurements with the Batteries America, however it's not broken in enough that I trust the readings, but the numbers I'm getting from it are consistent with the capacity that they claim that it has. So here's another interesting thing. Down on page 9 I talk a little bit about usability, and I thought folks might be interested in what all these batteries weigh. So the 1800 battery is 104 grams. The 2200 battery is 107 grams. And just an aside here, for kind of an equivalent sort of a battery, and I don't really care what kind of battery it is, it can be a lead acid battery, it can be AA alkaline, it can be lithium ion, I don't care. The battery that weighs more will typically have more capacity. You're going to have some overhead in these things because of the plastic and everything like that. And lithium is, batteries are pretty light. So that 26, the increase of weight by 19 grams there might not seem like much, but what you're looking at is the usable capacity of the amount of usable lithium that's in the battery. By comparison, the FT5 with no battery or antenna is 164 grams, and the ASU antenna is 27 grams. So when you add that all up and you compare, say, the Batteries America with a total weight of 317 grams to the Yaesu 2200 battery with a total weight of 298 grams, you have a weight gain of about 6% and a corresponding 75% increase in capacity. So that's pretty good. Just a couple of little side notes, and we'll take questions if anybody has them. And that is, the battery will take longer to charge. It will not charge in the CD41 charger that Yaesu provides, but there is a charger that's cheaper than Yaesu's and works well, and we'll talk about that next week. And the thing is that the battery takes longer to charge, but you still get the same amount of operating time out of it for the length of time charging it. And in fact, if you don't fully charge the battery, it's going to just last longer. So in the last part of this, we're going to talk about care and feeding of your lithium ion batteries and get into some of that stuff. But next week, we'll talk about the power consumption of the HTs and making whatever battery you have last longer. And I'll also, because I forgot about it this week, I'll bring in the how do you charge the battery and how does all that work out. Anyway, as far as up to part two, I give the battery a plus. And per watt hour, I didn't give the economic analysis here, it is much cheaper. This battery
per watt hour you get out of the battery, it's less than the 2270 milliamp hour Batteries America battery. That's quite a bit less than the cost of the ASU standard 2200 milliamp hour battery. So there we go. Stay tuned next week for part three. And back to you, Chuck, K9EQ.
Okay, Chris, thank you very much for that, and looking forward to part three next week. So, Roberto, next week, about the same time, we'll be discussing all of the things that Chris just talked about. With that, I'm going to bring the net to an end. Remember, we meet here every Monday night at 7:30 Central Time and cover all things Fusion. Thanks for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Everyone have a great week. This is Chuck, K0ORK, 7-3, all.
Thank you for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Technical Net. These nets are held a Monday at 7:30 Central, 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern, in room 21493 or YSF 21493. They're available through live stream or as a podcast. For more information on the net, items that are discussed, references made during the net, please see hamoperator.com. Hamoperator.com. Go to MinWiz and Nets, and for more information about the podcast. 7-3.